Father, we just we thank you that we're able to come before you. How crazy is it that we get to come before the Creator of the universe and speak to you and have a relationship with you and just rely on you and see you and be comforted by you. We thank you that we're able to do that. There's so many people prior to us, prior to Jesus coming down on earth, and that would have given anything to be able to experience the relationship with you that we have. What a special opportunity you've given us, and it's something so often that we take for granted that we can come before you like we do. And I just ask that's something that we start to not take for granted, that we start to see it for what it's worth, see it for how you've designed it to be and the good that you've designed out of this. And I just thank you again that we're able to come together, and I thank you for just being able to see Eldred this morning. And we know that it's just the battle's starting to become weary, the valley's starting to be deep, and that family, that they just need your comfort, they need your peace to surpass them and surround them and lift them up. And we know that you did not design us to be able to be sick and to be full of sin and health issues and problems. That's not what you created us for, and we know that it will pass and that we'll be able to stand before you as clean and righteous and no sickness and no sin, and for all of eternity that we're going to be able to stand in your presence that way as you intended us to be. So we just pray that whatever it is that you allow us to go through certain things for, that you reveal yourself to us in those situations and be able to see why it is that you are trying to draw us nearer to you, if we need it or if somebody around us needs it or whatever it may be. But it's just for your glory and your purpose that so many things can be used for. So we just pray that you give us the eyes to see those situations and just be able to bring glory to you in them. We pray for this morning that our nation, as there's been so many people that have stood on the front lines to protect this nation and give it the freedoms that it's experienced, that there's so many things now that go against that, that there's so many people that would just be sick that they put their life on the line for the way that this country is turning out and being so selfish and self-centered and greedy and arrogant. And we pray for our nation. It's something that you call us to do that sometimes we don't do a good enough job for, is that we're supposed to pray on behalf of our nation and we're supposed to confess the sins of our nation to you. And we do that this morning as Memorial Day gives us that purpose to call to remembrance the people that have fought and died for this country, to do that to us, that let us not forget what the reasoning that they fought for. Let us continue to stand in this country free, and hear our cry this morning as we just call out and just the ugly things that our nation and our government seems to be doing against you is just so crazy that we can't comprehend it. And let us just be able to know when to stand for truth. Let us know to stand up for you in the situations that are going to arise, and just the opportunity that it brings to cry out your name and to be able to show you to people and to be able to speak your name to people who are lost and dying in the confusion that this world brings them. So we just pray that you can just put your hand back on this nation, that you can continue to just remember us as we call out to you this morning. And we just pray for our leaders in this nation, as hard as that is to do sometimes, that they may just ultimately find you and seek after your ways and your truths and your precepts on how government should work and should look, and that they shouldn't be taking advantage of us for their selfish gains. So we just pray that you, as we even have this upcoming election coming in November, that it's something that your hand is upon it, and you just utilize us where you see fit in doing what we need to do for your truth and your glory. We pray for this morning as our class goes on and we're continuing to hear your truth and your word, that is something that we can truly take to heart. We know that the enemy does not want us gathering together this morning. The enemy does not want us to know you, to learn of you, to learn your ways, to walk in your truths and your way. And they will do anything to be able to distract us from that, meaning they'll come in here and they'll try to steal our mind and our thoughts away from you this morning. So I pray this morning that you just put a hedge of protection around us, that you allow us to focus on you, that you take your take the things that you've placed us in this earth for, and just allow us to see how we need to bring you into those things. So often we just seek You know, we get weekends like this where we get family and parties and graduation parties and just days off of work and just all these different things we get to do, and we see the fun in that of the relaxation, but we don't bring you into it. So I just asked this morning that if this is a weekend that's designated for memorials, that it's something that we just remember the work that your son did for us on the cross that allowed us to be free for eternity, that we are free from sin, from guilt, from shame, that is the memorial that we bring forth this weekend, that when we go with our families and our days off of work, that we can be able to spread that news, the good news of you, of the things that you saved us from, the slave of sin that you've saved us from and brought us into freedom with you. There's no greater story than that. So let us speak boldly of you this weekend when we're around the people that could use that glimpse of hope. As we go forth this morning in this class, I just ask that the Holy Spirit, that you may just run rampant upstairs and downstairs. There's many children that need to know your truth, and your Spirit may work in them. It is the same Spirit that's in them that is in us. And I just ask that you truly reveal yourself to those kids downstairs. They need a foundation more than any right now. I ask that as we sit here this morning that you tell us what we need to hear. Your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And if we need to be cut, cut us this morning, Father. Cut away the ugliness that we need. Cut away the sin that entangled us, the traps that we are so easily entangled by, the snares that trip us up as we walk through life. I pray that you just use your word this morning to cut us free from them and speak to us. In your son's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we're going to pick up in John chapter 16. And this morning as I read this, God did his work by revealing with the Holy Spirit something that I've read countless time after reading through this. But when you read chapter 16, verse 5 and 6, it's hard. Maybe you'll be able to look right through it and say, duh. But to me, I kept stumbling and saying, what's the point of this? What is the point of this conversation? Remember, the whole conversation is Jesus is leaving us valuable information. He's about to leave. What do you want us to remember, to hold on to see as useful as we go forth, as Jesus is going to leave? So these two verses have just, this whole thing has kind of just been tripping me up. But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. So what I want to do this morning is I want you to put yourself in the disciples' shoes, because then this will make sense. And we're going to be able then to tie it in. So I want you to literally put yourself in the mindset of these disciples as he's having this conversation with them. And they have sorrow. Why is this sorrow filling your heart? Because what is he that all of a sudden now he's changing, saying that this sorrow is filling your heart? And all of the stuff that he has spoken about prior to him saying this, the reality of all that stuff is starting to sink in to these guys. So they're sitting here, and all of the two chapters that we've read previously, all of that information, all those words, all those thoughts, all those things that Jesus has told them, it's starting to hit home. Reality's starting to set in. So put yourself in their shoes. So they say, but now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? He's saying, none of you are asking me this. So that's a key. Why? We're going to come back to that. But because I've said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Well, what things have you said to me that sorrow is filling my heart? So we look back, start at chapter 13 and look back. Where I go, you can't, Jesus says. Well, what do you mean? We've been with you for 3 years now. What do you mean? I followed you everywhere. You've brought me out of my tax collections. You've brought me out of my no good fishing job. You've brought me out of all of the different things that you've brought me out of. What do you mean? I followed you everywhere. Now you're telling me that it's only been 3 years and now I can't follow where you're going? Then he says, Peter, you're going to deny me. And we all know Peter. Peter's like, I'm your protector. What do you mean I'm going to deny you? I'm not going to deny you. You can't say that to me. I go to prepare a place for you. Well, can't we go with you to make sure it's what I want? Can't we go with you to make sure it's what I need? What do you mean you're going to leave me? You're not making sense here, Jesus. He who believes in me will do greater works. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Well, geez, that's a lot of pressure, ain't it? We saw the works that you've done. We saw the miracles that you did. We've seen the people that you've healed. And you're going to say, I'm going to do better and I'm going to do greater works than that. But yet you're going to leave me. And I'm supposed to follow your commandments, but you're not going to be here for me to follow your commandments. How am I going to follow your commandments if I'm not here to be able to be taught by them? And I'm not going to be able to have you hold my hand through all these problems and situations. Talk about pressure. Another helper is coming. I don't want another helper. I like our dynamic. I like the flow. I like how we work together. If somebody's going to come in your place, it's going to mess with our dynamic that we have. How's this going to work? We've been working this way for the last 3 years, and now you're going to up and change? Now you're going to up and leave? He says, I won't leave you as orphans. Well, if you're not going to leave me as orphans, that really means you're going to leave. Because you're not going to leave me by myself, but that means I'm going to be an orphan for a little while. I don't want to be an orphan. I like where I'm at. I like being with you. I like what you teach me. I like what you bring for me for peace and for comfort. I like how you handle situations. I like how you handle tough encounters. I like how you speak to people. The world won't see me in a little while. He who does not love me does not keep my words. Well, you're going to be gone. You just said you're going to be gone. How am I going to keep your words? If you're not going to be here, how am I going to know how to follow you? How am I going to know to live after your example? What or who is this spirit that's coming to help us? I don't want a spirit. I need you. I need to hold on to you. I need to hug you. I need to be comforted by your words. I need to be embraced by you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Peace I leave you. Yeah, right. I'm a nervous wreck here. You're telling me all these things, but you're going to leave me? You're walking away from me and you're going to change the dynamic of what we had for 3 years? The ruler of this world is coming. Well, you've taught everything against the ruler of this world. I don't want the ruler of this world to come. He can't be good. Everything that you spoke of, this man is not good. And now you're going to leave me in the presence of this man? We're going to be pruned? I don't want to be pruned. Sounds painful. But you're going to prune me anyway, and you're not going to be here to help me while I'm being pruned? You're not going to be here to lift me up? You're not going to be able to comfort me and console me after I've been pruned and I'm hurting? If we don't abide in you, we're going to be dried up, thrown away, and cast into the fire? I have to lay my life down for others? The world's going to hate me? I will be persecuted. I will be an outcast and I will be killed. No wonder they didn't ask where he was going. Think of what their mind was. Think of the distraction that all of that brought them. All of those thoughts. The doubt, the stress, the anxiety, the pressure of him leaving. That's why they didn't ask, where are you going? They didn't care. They were scared. They didn't know what was going to happen to them. And Jesus, being Jesus, Luke chapter 5, 22 and Matthew 9, 4 says that Jesus perceives thoughts and that Jesus knows our thoughts. So what does he say? I'm here to give you comfort. So he says, verse 7, but I tell you the truth. Okay, so here we have truth. Truth is good because it allows us to see what's going on and allows us to make a plan to attack or work the problem, right? Once we have the truth, we're then able to work the problem. So Jesus is like, I'll give you that. I'll give you the truth. So what is the truth or the solution that Jesus gives to work the problem? What does he say? But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Here's the truth I'm going to give you. The truth for you to work the problem, I'm going to leave. I'm leaving. How in the world does that make sense? Remember, you're in their shoes. You're not you today. You're in their shoes. How in the world does it make sense that Jesus is going to leave to be able to work the problem? Jesus, you've worked all my problems for the last 3 years. Jesus, you are the solution to my problems for the last 3 years. And you just told me I'm going to be persecuted, potentially killed, outcast. I'm going to be hated. All of our dynamic of our life is going to change and you're going to leave me? And you're telling me that's a good thing? How in the world will that make my doubt, my worry, my stress, my anxiety, and this pressure any better? Here he goes talking in parables again. It's got to be what they said. Look at this guy. He's crazy. He's talking in parables again. I don't understand it. But he's not talking in parables. It's very clear in what he's saying. Not only is he telling us he is leaving, but it's going to be to our advantage. You're just getting loopier and loopier. You're getting crazier and crazier, Jesus. It's not making sense. That does not sound good whatsoever. At all. The original language for advantage is to be profitable. It will bring us useful gain. So Jesus is saying, I'm going to leave you, but the truth that I'm going to leave you is that it's going to be for your profitable gain. It's going to bring you gain. How? How is that going to bring us gain? How is that going to do these guys any help? Bring them any comfort, any relaxation, any peace from their stress, anxiety, and worries and doubt in life? Instead of their pressure leaving, it's building. That is why sorrow has filled their heart. They have that doubt. I can't do it. Guess what? Does this allow us to see the impossibility of a life without Jesus? We can't do it. These guys couldn't do it either. This shows us that it is impossible to live our life without Jesus. We will fall prey to the pressures of life, the doubts, the stress, the anxieties. We will be held captive. We will be snared. We will be trapped. But Jesus says, I know you will, and I'm going to leave anyway. But that's not fair. You can't do that to me. It's impossible. We just looked at that. We know that it is impossible for me to be able to live my life without you. It's impossible. And you and I have never experienced Jesus on this earth. So does that show us our need for a helper? Because we have these same doubts, these same questions that the disciples have. You mean, how am I going to love you and keep your commandments when the world tells me that your commandments are wrong? But I'm going to go to jail. But I'm going to get fired from my job. But my family is going to oust me. My kids are going to leave me. My husband's going to think I'm a joke. My wife's going to think I'm crazy. But you tell me to love you? To keep your commandments is to love you? When your commandments are complete contrary to what the world is? I'm not going to deny you. Peter says, no way. We say no way. Yet we do it every day. I won't leave you as orphans. Do we look at that? How many times do we feel like we're alone? We have these thoughts. These thoughts that they had are the same thoughts that you and I have. Don't let our heart be troubled, he says. But we focus on all of these pressures, these stresses, and these anxieties of the unknown that allow us to fall victim to the pressure, that then we're trapped. And then what do? Who do we seek out? Who do we call after? Because We know we need somebody to help us. You're lying to yourself if you say that you can handle and get away with every single thing on your own that comes into your mind. You're lying to yourself. We can put on the happy face, the smile. Erica can put on the shirt that everything's fine, it's fine, it's all okay. We can hide behind all that stuff as much as we want. But inside, we know that we cannot do it on our own. We need Jesus. We cannot walk this life alone. But we don't have Jesus. We have a problem. These disciples are saying the same thing. What if you leave? You can't leave. You are my comfort zone. You cannot leave me. I need you. I can't do this on my own. I will fail. I will succumb to the pressure. So we have a helper. We can give the disciples a hard time. We can give ourselves a hard time about the places that we've been and the things that we've thought and the self-reliance we've had instead of relying on Jesus. But look at the positive change in the disciples after Jesus left. What happened? Look how much better their growth was once they were forced to leave their comfort zone. It's for your advantage. It's for your profit. It's for your gain that I leave. Because me leaving is going to force you to step out of your comfort zone. It's going to force you to do hard things. It's going to force you to see things differently. It's going to force you to rely on somebody other than yourself. It's going to force you to get on your knees and submit. Our life is proof of that too. There's things in our life. We look at these disciples. Peter went out and preached and saved 3,000 people with the Holy Spirit. The church that you and I are part of, that's all over the world, was born because of the Holy Spirit. Here we are thousands of years later. The church is growing minute by minute. There's people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. All because of these thoughts that these guys had, that they were afraid to do it because they couldn't get out of their comfort zone knowing that Jesus was going to leave and they were going to have to rely on somebody else to be able to help them. Somebody that they knew nothing of. What do you mean? It's new to me. I don't know it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know what I'm going to act like. I don't know how it's going to affect me. I don't know what this person's going to think of me. I don't know how I'm going to be able to be bold enough to say this. Psalm 86:11. Teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name. Make a choice to walk in their faith. Make a choice to walk in your faith. That's what they did. We're going to get ahead of ourselves a little bit because I want to cover. We'll probably even end early today because I don't want to get into, we're going to get into the personality of the Holy Spirit, who the Holy Spirit is, what his intentions are, what he is here for, but we're not, I wanted to do an introduction to a point of the purpose of what they were feeling like that you and I feel like before we get into the purpose of it for a class next week. But jump to verse 13 and it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears. Who is he hearing from? The Lord. The Holy Spirit has immediate communion, cooperation, and conversation with the Father and with Jesus. The Holy Spirit that you and I are baptized with, The day that you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're baptized with the Holy Spirit. So now you have the Spirit living in you that has direct communication, conversations, and speaks the things of God living in you. That is powerful. To be able to say the God of the universe is the one who makes me think those things, who gives me the boldness, who gives me words to speak. It's not me. It's not my power. So anything that comes out of our mouth that's done when we're walking in the Spirit, guess what? You just reflected Jesus to somebody truthfully because it's His words that were spoken forth from you. That is huge. And I look at it as Satan tried to get rid of Jesus, right? Satan threw his arsenal at him on the cross. He did everything that he could do to try to get Jesus to slip up. Right? Prior to that, we have the endowment of the Holy Spirit and the indwellment of the Holy Spirit. Two different things. Where like David and Saul, when he became king of Israel, God endowed his spirit. But then David prays in the psalm, God, don't take your spirit from me. So the Holy Spirit wasn't permanent. The Pentecost, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, allows the Holy Spirit to be permanent in you and I. We're indwelt with it. So, Satan throws his arsenal at Jesus on the cross. Obviously, we know Jesus was victorious. What did God do in retaliation to that? Guess what, Satan? I'm not only going to give you a few people who I endow my Holy Spirit on and Jesus on the earth, I'm now going to be in every single believer on the face of this earth. Look at the volume of Jesus is running around. You had one on the earth. Now there's millions on the earth. Satan threw everything at him that he could. Jesus overcame. And now he said, guess what? I'm going to be everywhere. I'm going to be all over this world. Kind of a cool thought. So we take that, and why this is bringing up and why this is stirring my soul is the depth of what this is. That we all have problems. We all have issues. We can go through this. These little examples that I gave of all these disciples and their questions and their fears and their concerns and their comments, and we can relate to every single one of them. We can have those same questions and doubts and concerns. What we need to realize is that the God of the universe is living inside of us. That literally should change how we walk throughout our day. We do not have an excuse. I can be a pissant. I can be depressed. I can be angry. I can have a crappy attitude. There's no excuse for that. There's no excuse for my selfishness. There's no excuse for my concerns, my pressures, and my problems. Because all that shows me is that I'm not walking in the Spirit. I am not allowing the God that He left to help me, help me. I'm trying to do things on my own way and my own understandings. And all that will do is create deeper and deeper pressure and thicker pressure and heavier pressure. Until what? You're at such an unhealthy point in your life from the stress and anxiety that you let stupid things take birth in our heart and our souls. It's not what He intended for us. Look at it from the standpoint that He chose you to represent Him. He trusted you enough that He said, I will come live in you because I need you to be me to somebody else. And by the way, it's not going to be the words that you say because I'm going to speak. I'll give you everything you need to say. I'll give you all the peace and the comfort and the words and the control and the attitudes and the comfort and the peace and not a troubled heart. I'll give you all that. But you just have to do one thing. Deny yourself. Pick up my cross because I'm in you. So that means you're going to share that with me. But I'm going to carry the load. You just have to be willing to be able to be used. However that may look, I don't know. However it may look, we don't know. So, we get to experience the power of God within us. And my mind works in silly ways. And I have an acronym this morning. PIGS. We experience, because we have the Trinity. And I think we're going to cover some of this stuff. Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. How cool is God that he was able to send his Son to earth, to walk on earth, and change the world as he did. But then as he took him, as he chose to say, that step is done, he didn't leave us high and dry. Now the Holy Spirit resides where? You have God, the Father of heaven. You have Christ who walked on earth. Sits at the right hand of the Father, but he didn't leave us, because where does the Holy Spirit live? In us yet. He still dwells on earth. He walked the earth, and he still dwells on earth with you and I. So we have this power. We get to experience their power. That's PIG, remember? We're going to say power, instruction, guidance, and sufficiency. That's what we get from the Holy Spirit living in us. We get to partake in this power. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of timidity, but of power and love and discipline. Our eye is instructions. Psalm 32, 8, I will instruct you and teach you in the way in which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. We have our G, guidance. James 1, 5, but if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives generously and without reproach. It will be given to him. Proverbs 16:9, the mind of man plans his ways, but the Lord directs his steps. That's a good one to remember. Sufficiency. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. Not that we are adequate or sufficient in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God. Why? How? Why is it all sufficient? Because he is perfect. He is complete. God is sufficient. Therefore, if he resides in us and we allow him to work through us, all the things that come forth from us is sufficient. My grace is sufficient for you in all things. It should be. So that's going to be our introduction of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to cover, we'll make up for all the times we've ran over. So as we go forth, as we go out of here, to remember for Memorial Day, for Memorial weekend. Remember who's living in you. Remember who your strength comes from. Remember whose power you can utilize. Remember who will instruct you. Remember who will guide us. And remember that his grace is sufficient for you no matter what it looks like. His ways are perfect. His plan is perfect. No matter what. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come together this morning. We thank you for leaving us a helper. We thank you for the Spirit residing in us. And I just ask as we go forth that we tap into your Spirit, that we use that power to conquer the things of the world that we seem are too big of a hill to climb. The mountains that seem unimaginable for us to be able to reach the top of, they are impossible without your power. We need your instructions to be able to climb. We need your guidance to be able to see where to step. And we need to understand that you are enough as we do the climb. Father, I thank you for just the simplicity of who you are. Sometimes we put you in such a confusing box that we can't see that all your answers are simple if we just look and if we listen to you. That is what you've left yourself on this earth for, was just to be able to guide us. So I just thank you, and I just pray for our weekend that it may be fruitful with one another and our families as we go forth out of here, that we just may shine so bright with the encouragement that you are residing in us as we walk forth. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.